the Edmund Arts.
See a thing. I'm utterly blind.
Why is that?
Well, look at me. The glasses are completely frosted over. This is what happens when you come out of a cold, frigid environment into a nice, toasty, warm room. Your glasses fog up.
I can turn the heat off.
For the next 15 minutes, anything could be... No. I'm just saying that this is what those of us with glasses, and you wear glasses, you know what this is like.
Yeah, but I never leave here.
Winter is a time of temporary blindness.
Aren't you supposed to walk in backwards? Isn't that supposed to help?
Yeah,
but don't you feel kind of stupid walking in someplace backwards?
Yes, you would try to make it look like you were skipping out on the bill by some odd procedure. No, I don't want to go through any of that. I just know that the first 10 minutes that I get into any building, people can do anything. They can walk up to me and make funny expressions. They can laugh at my tie. They can make, you know, they can just gesture and cavort and the like of it. I wouldn't know it. The perils of myopia. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. Here I am. My name is James Lilacs. I'm a columnist for the Star Tribune newspaper of the Twin Cities. And I write the Back Fence column, which appears on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays in your metro section. Well, not your metro section. I mean, you got to buy it first. Then it's your metro section. And every Saturday afternoon, we get together here at the diner out on Highway 23 by County Road 33, about, 19.5 miles from wherever you happen to be in the city at this moment. And we talk about stuff, things. I've got some traumas from the week that I have to deal with here. Just traumas, just awful, horrible. I discovered the B side of my cable network, the B channel, and I found more horror lurking in the B side than... I'm barely recovered this morning, so I'll get to that. And the general panoply of casting our eyes backwards and forwards over what happened in the cities years and years ago on this particular week and what's coming up for the week ahead. Little pointless, stupid holidays that nobody celebrates, but we just like to remind you of anyway. In any case, there's no set agenda here. Anyone is welcome to call up the nickel-plated rotary phone at the end of the diner and add their contribution. The number, as ever, is 646-8255, 646-TALK. 1-800-962-0792 if you're outside of the metro area, and #1500 on an AT&T wireless services phone. It's 4 degrees. I love that. I love that.
I'm going to store some of those chickens outside.
The ones you got from Hong Kong from last year?
Yeah, the cheap ones.
Mm-hmm. I imagine they'll keep well in this kind of weather. When I first came here, it was 3. 3. Now, the difference between 3 and 4 is just a degree, but it seems much more than that. 4, I don't know if... Maybe it's just because I have a preference for even numbers. I don't like odd numbers.
Really? I do.
Really?
I'm an odd. 3 is my favorite number. Lucky number.
Odd numbers to me seem unfriendly. They seem spiky somehow. They seem against me.
Can you see why I like them?
Yes, exactly.
Spiky evil numbers?
Mm-hmm. Well, now I know who's on their side.
Look, that's 23.
Yes.
19.
Yeah,
all these are odd numbers.
Yes, all the numbers of the Illuminati and the Bavarian conspiracies and the rest of the things you've been blathering about, lo, these many months.
All true.
All nonsense. No, odd-numbered years I've never liked. There's something just unfriendly about the odd number, 1997. It's got that hook on the edge of it, the 7. You could snag something on that. You could catch your stockings on it and make them run. 5, too. 5 has got, it's got two hooks. It's got the hook at the top of the 5 and the one at the bottom. 3, bristling with hooks. Odd numbers always look like they can draw blood. That's all I'm saying. And even numbers just look rounder and friendlier. There, see? Just went down to 3 degrees. As if to torment me. Anyway, I've always believed that 3 or 2 or 5 degrees is much colder, sounds much colder, feels much colder than 20 below. Once you start to get to the below stuff, it's abstract. Who knows? Who cares? 20 below, 30 below, who can tell the difference? At that point, it's just theoretical. But 3, there's just something about that lone little digit hovering just a few millimeters above dead zero. 3 that feels like absolute cold. 3 feels colder than 0. I walked out this morning to the Defiant, my car, and it was cold. I had the feeling that if I took a hammer and struck it hard, that the entire car would just crumble into small little chunks of plastic. But it started and got me here. Now, as for the other cold of importance, you may recall last week on our inaugural diner visits here on Saturday, I was much bestuffed. I had a sinus passages full of concrete. Throat was raspy. Oh, I was aching. And I know you've been wondering all week long, with all the cares and traumas and trials and strife of your life, I know that you've put them aside from time to time and thought, but gosh, I wonder how James's cold is doing. Well, I'm fine. But the colds do interesting things. At least mine do. They have a steady progression. They start in the head, where I have a couple of days where I'm vaguely cross-eyed and fuzzy and walking about in a bit of a stupor. And then they move down to the nose and tax the nose. And then they put their grappling hooks into the throat until I feel like I got a cheese grater embedded in my soft palate. And then after about the usual week of sniffling and borting and red-nosedness, then it heads south. It goes down to about, you know, the upper part of the lungs, where you get a nice, good, ripe, hacking cough going that always amuses and amazes your coworkers. And then it even goes south a little bit more until eventually, at the end of your cold, at the final stages of your cold, it is settled at the absolute bottom of your lungs. And each day you spend a good, 20, 30 minutes in, shall we say, excavation. And then it disappears. But I'm just curious why cold doesn't keep on going down. Why stop at the lungs? Why not go to the liver? People would just walk around, you know, my liver feels good. Ah, my liver's congested. Yeah, just all stopped up in the liver. And then just down to the gastrointestinal areas, and then to the legs, so, you know, your thighs are, my thighs are congested. Man, my knees are so congested, until it finally gets all the way down to the shins, to the ankles, and then the toe is the last thing to have the cold. The toe is red, and it's sort of sniffling, and your toes feel congested. That would be an ideal progress for the most common of diseases. Start at the top of the head, work its way down, because then you'd know when it was over. When the cold hit your knees, or your shins, for example, well, you'd be home free. You'd think, I've got 2 or 3 days of this. I can deal with a congested toe, and you'd go on with life. Just a thought. Eric, King of Kinko's. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. I was disappointed to have missed the re-debut of the diner last week. I was in Nebraska.
What were you doing in Nebraska?
Traveling through it. I don't think anybody actually stops in Nebraska.
Oh, sure.
Everybody goes through it.
Hundreds of thousands of people stopped in Nebraska, lured by the promise of wealth, gold, riches, culture, and the like.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, they're building culture there, I hear.
Well, from what I mean, think of it. Nobody stops in Nebraska around here. Everybody goes through it. It may be paradise. It may be Shangri-La.
And it's just a secret they're keeping.
It's
from
just
the
a
rest
secret. They line the major highways with non-impressive buildings, and just, so the rest of us just keep on going through. But you go a couple of miles into town, and you're in absolute paradise. The streets are paved with gold.
We've
the fountains
all been fooled.
Fountains bubble with champagne. Climate controlled domes
Wow. Make
it perfect all year round. The women are gorgeous. You know, the men are all lumberjacks. You know, and it's
who would have thought?
Who would have thought Nebraska?
Nebraska. Well, you know, I was coming back from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually has something to see.
You've pretty much been making the tour of the sharp angled states, haven't you?
Went hiking in the Garden of the Gods.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty impressive.
What is the Garden of the Gods?
The Garden of the Gods is like all these really bizarre rock formations that tower up a number of, I don't know, people like to climb up on them, and if you have the right mountain climbing gear, you can actually go up higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's signs saying if you don't have the right mountain climbing gear, you can only go like 10 feet, but, you know. Nobody really listens to us.
Mountain climbing is one of those things that there is just simply not enough money in the world to convince me to do. There just isn't. And there's every time I see the footage, the film of people hammering a python up into a wall, and they're up there about 3.5 miles,
mm-hmm.
swinging from what appears to me to be dental floss. What always amazes me is not only that somebody is doing it, but that somebody with a camera is higher than they are, looking down at them doing this.
That's true.
Neither profession are something that I would want to do. I don't see... I mean, if you really want that much of a challenge, how about, let's say, I'm going to lick a cement block until there's nothing left. That to me, that's a challenge.
It's
something you can spend a lot of time doing. There's a definite sense of accomplishment when, at the end of 40 years, you've licked the cement block into just a little pebble or two.
Right.
And you've never had to worry about slipping and falling to your death into a spiky ravine.
You know what? I think it's just a social stigma or whatever. You know, people look at mountain climbers as being, you know, something of a traditional, you know, hero almost. And I don't think licking a cement block would get the same reaction.
Well, that's just the problem with our culture, you know? We pay our athletes all this money and school teachers nothing. We celebrate the mountain climbers, yet the cement block lickers go absolutely unsung.
I know, it's terrible.
I think it should be one of those sports of the next Olympics, actually, where you, it's an introductory sport. What do they call it?
What is that called?
A trial sport or something like that.
Somebody has the answer to that.
We should start the lobbying right now for cement block licking at this moment. And it would be the only sport you could carry over from Olympic to Olympic with the same contestants. It would add a sort of note of continuity to it.
There you go.
It would, I assume, take 40 years for the tongue to work the cement block down.
You gotta stop and let it heal.
Right.
The cement block, on the other hand, doesn't heal, so you have the upper hand.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
I was just going to comment. I thought that you were delving into academia of the alternate universe there for a while. We started out with math.
Yes.
How numbers are personality-wise.
Numbers have personality.
Right. And then we moved into sort of an alternate biology, which was kind of neat.
Uh-huh.
I have an experiment that I'd like to try just to see if any other diner patrons can relate to this, because I've always thought this was odd.
Uh-huh.
But ever since growing up, I was always able to assign male or female properties to numbers.
Yeah, ooh, yes, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, and letters. Letters and numbers. They all had male and female properties. From when I was, like, younger than being able to add,
mm-hmm.
I had male and female properties assigned to these numbers, and I was just wondering if other people were into this.
Well, yes, probably the French, for heaven's sake. I mean,
I know. I understand the language thing, but I'm just saying. I mean, does it look the same to other people or not?
I'm guessing it doesn't. Now, like, for example, eight. Uh-huh. Eight is male or female to you?
Well, to me, that's always been a female.
Yeah, and I would think so, because the actual shape of it.
Right.
As a kid looking up, you would see mom as sort of an eight.
Right.
Four.
Four, to me, has always been male.
Exactly. Me, too. There's just something about it that speaks of... maybe it's that crossbar.
Yeah,
just okay, one.
One has always been male.
Okay.
That's one. That was obvious, though.
Yeah.
I've always seen, like, two being female and things like that.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's no reason for any of this.
No.
But as a child, I probably did the same thing. And you develop these strange... feelings about numbers.
Yeah.
And they
carry with you through school, so it's almost like a bias.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd.
But by the same token, I have even stronger feelings about the shift characters on a typewriter. You know, the ones above the numbers, the ones used in cartoons for swearing.
Yeah.
those things are like transgendered. I mean, they have all sorts of genders to them.
So you're actually more offended when they blot out the swear words with those characters.
Oh, absolutely. Because what I read is far more offensive than the rest of... You know, in my column a couple of days ago, I actually used a Yosemite Sam type swear word while constructing a false name for a chemical that I found in a salad dressing, and it was I wasn't sure if it was Yosemite Sam who said it, but it was never mind. We're gonna get on to animation later, and then I'll say what it is.
All right.
But for the moment, I'm just going to think of asterisks and percent signs.
I just wanted to leave you with this.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fortune cookie the other day.
Yes, sir?
It had two fortunes in it.
Ooh.
That's impressive in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Did they cancel each other out?
Well, I can't remember what the other fortune said, but I can tell you what the first one said, and it was rather odd that it was the one that was inside the cookie that had two fortunes. The fortune told me that any excess is a vice.
And that was the one with two fortunes in it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, go in Vice and sin some more. Talk to you later, Eric.
Yep.
Bye-bye. On the other side of the break, Joan and Doug to talk about Nebraska and sports in that order. You can join here, too, if you like. Numbers, male or female? I'm almost afraid to say them now. 646-8255. Now, that's a happy colloquy of happy boys and girls lined up and holding hands. James Lilacs here at the diner on KSTP AM 1500.
There's a new instant game from the Minnesota State Lottery called Hardware Store, which, if you ask me, is a good idea to get certain people, Warren, if you're listening, reacquainted with your basic tools. Just match the winning symbol, like pliers or saws, to your symbol and win. Unless your name is Warren and you have trouble telling the difference between a crescent wrench and a crescent roll. Maybe Hardware Store will inspire certain people to fix the storm windows so my bridge guests don't have to play in mittens. Or the broken doorknob that left Maggie Johnson stranded in the bathroom. It was no coincidence that I did not get asked back on the Garden Club committee. There's a top prize of $5,000, which could buy a lot of new tools. Unless your name is Warren, in which case you should just hire a contractor and concentrate on what you do best. Supervise.
Play Hardware Store at your nearest lottery retailer. Players must be 18 years of age or older.
My son had a diaper rash. It was irritating and red, and it was painful for him.
Then Lisa Merritt of Armouchi, Georgia, discovered Baby Gold Bond medicated powder.
Baby Gold Bond is a product that I found that helps clear up the diaper rash.
Baby Gold Bond combines zinc oxide with the finest talcum powder to relieve baby's red, irritated skin and protects it against diaper rash with medication ordinary baby powders don't have.
Since we started using Baby Gold Bond as a preventative, he hasn't had another diaper rash.
Baby Gold Bond medicated powder uses directed.
Some jobs just aren't worth it, like painting the house. So here's a smarter, hassle-free solution. Vinyl siding from Sears Home Central. It's the nicest way to say you'll never paint your house again. And Sears makes getting vinyl siding simple and affordable. Call 1-888-446-1400 for a free in-home estimate. Not available in all areas sold, furnished, and installed by a Sears authorized contractor. Name and license number on request. That's Sears Vinyl Siding, 1-888-446-1400.
Hello. You want to start your new year right? How about choosing cellular service from AirTouch? How about 50 extra bucks just for doing it? Sweet deal. Superb cellular service and 50 bucks to boot. Right now, and for a limited time, I might add, you can get a free Motorola phone from AirTouch and earn 50 easy dollars. And with AirTouch Cellular, you'll get excellent service, superb coverage, and low-cost calling plans that'll not only save you big bucks in 1998, but keep saving you money well into the next century. It's so millennium. How do you get it? Piece of cake. To start the new year with AirTouch and $50 extra, all you have to do is call 1-800-AIRTOUCH, and you can get a free Motorola phone delivered right to your door. Unbelievable? Nah, just AirTouch. Offer available on new lines of service on select annual calling plans through February 1st, 1998. OAC, see contract terms and conditions and your calling plan for billing and other information. Some restrictions apply.
Chasing off customers.
Sorry. He had a tux on.
Oh, in that case.
I was afraid he was, you know,
Mark Russell. Ugh. You know, I found one of the catalogs. You know, of course, all diners have, you know, catalogs for kitchenware,
right,
cleaning
right.
supplies. There is a Mark Russell trap.
I would think you would just need a broom handle with a knife tied to the end of it.
Well, I've got plenty of those. All the brooms here have knives.
Back at the diner here, James Lilac's with you. Before we get to Joan, did you hear that in the commercial over the break? That's so millennium, said the pitch man. That's so millennium. I've never heard that phrase before. I've heard, oh, that's so 80s or so 90s. Two phrases I'd like to expunge from the vocabulary right now. But so millennium, it's a little clunky. And it leads me to believe we're going to have trouble exactly describing what this next decade is going to be. The OOs? No, the double aughts. I kind of like that, the double aughts. Oh, that's so double aughts. The OOs isn't going to do it unless, of course, the first 10 years of the next century are made up entirely of really, really bad events happening with great regularity, at which point we're all going to spend our time huddled in the corner of the room saying, uh-oh, but I don't think so. 646-8255, 646-TALK, 1-800-962-0792. Joan from Minneapolis, how are you?
It is really hard to understand who you're talking to because just as you push the button...
Mm-hmm. And there you are.
Name.
I'm sorry.
So I assume you want Joan?
I indeed do want Joan. How are you?
I'm fine, except I have a leaky faucet in my nose this morning. And I think I just devised a Kleenex plug.
Ah.
But at
spackle, spackle works, too.
Spackle?
you go to Builder's Square, you get those nice tubes of spackle, and just one up each nostril, and it works. It works for weeks.
Old potato salad works well, too.
Works very well.
Mash it down good.
Yeah. Well, lots of good ideas. I called to see if I wasn't sure if you had a guest on with you or if that was another caller from that had been in Nebraska.
That was Eric, King of the Kinkos. He'd just been through Nebraska.
Oh, I see. Well, someone that is familiar with Nebraska perhaps could help us out or help me out. You may know, back in the 60s, and this was prior to the real cementing of pizza. There were just, you know, there were no big chains yet.
Right. I think consolidation is the word we're looking for, not cementing. Cement was banned on pizza under an international covenant in 1972.
But back then, pizza was something that a lot of people were just trying in little shops. You know, sort of the next move from the diner.
Right.
And I was so tired of pizza that I was really sort of...
you were already tired of pizza back then?
But yeah, I was. Bad pizza, we'll put it that way.
Okay.
You know, being that you're getting a lot of people just sort of experimenting and opening shops and stuff, it wasn't necessarily a good thing.
Right.
But I read an article in the paper about a food that was very popular in Nebraska called Grunzas.
Grunzas?
Yes, and I can't even remember the spelling. I know somewhere in my house, in a shoebox somewhere of old receipts or something, I probably have the article. But I can't... I know there was an H in the word. R-H-U-N-Z or S. It had something to do with sauerkraut and possibly even sausage... similar to a Frank or a hot dog or...
Grunzas? Is that what it was called?
Grunzas, and it was, I think, maybe a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounded good to me at that time in my life. Sauerkraut would...
It sounds like the sound that somebody would make in cost of distress as they attempt to deal with the after effects of the meal. It doesn't sound very appetizing. I tell you what, though, somebody is guaranteed to know it. Let's we'll free up a line here, and somebody will call in.
Yes.
All right, Joan, stay tuned. Bye-bye. So, yeah, Grunzas, as if you know what it is.
Did she say it was a sandwich?
Yes.
Well, let me access the big, big book of sandwiches.
All right, go back in the crane and see what we get.
See what I can find. It'll take a while.
Meantime, here. Doug from West St. Paul. How you doing, Doug?
I am well, James. How are you?
I'm just dandy. I'm happy that it's cold again, too.
You know what? I am, too.
It feels right. It feels good. I like living in a state where we have temperature variations that are about 120 degrees in the course of a year.
Yeah, all things are in order now.
Mm-hmm.
We can proceed. Hey, the word you're looking for is exhibition sport.
Exhibition sport, that's it,
yes.
That's it. So do you follow with me that perhaps cement block licking should be an exhibition sport come the next Olympics?
No, I have to dissent here, James. I think the blood resulting from a constant licking of a concrete block would be repulsive.
It depends.
I'd watch.
It depends for a couple of reasons.
Unless Nike would come out with some sort of protective tongue gear, I think it should be.
And I don't doubt that they would. You could make this, well, if you added blood, of course, it would rope in the extreme generation.
Ah,
because it would
point.
It would be a sport that generated blood probably faster than any others.
Probably.
And that is something highly to be desired amongst that crowd.
Now, would the blood actually assist in the degeneration of the concrete block, do you think?
Or? That's just it. I don't know. Generally, when the blood is spilled on concrete, people come along and what do? They wash it up. You don't get to see if there are any corrosive effects over the years.
They look at it though too.
Yeah. I never thought actually of that aspect of it. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't have enough experience in the matter. If you were somehow to transplant the resiliency and strength of a dog's tongue into a human being, however,
there you go.
Because if you put a plate in front of a human and ask them to lick it clean, there will be stuff left. If you put it in front of a dog, there will not be one residual molecule of that dish left.
But then, of course, you're introducing a whole new aspect into the Olympics, and that would be animal participation. I don't know if we need to
go that route, some sort of cross-species, you know, amalgam.
Well, how about a man holding a cow's tongue, licking a concrete block?
Yeah, I suppose so. But then it would all be in the arm, okay? And we've got so many arm-based sports in the Olympics as it is. There are no tongue-based sports in the Olympics. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I think it's a very bad idea, the more I think about
it. Well, yeah. Again. Well, at least now I agree with you.
Yes.
Oh, the symbols on the typewriter, the symbol keys?
Yes.
I don't know if you know this or not, but when those keys, once you know what they are all for, if they're depressed in the proper sequence, those keys will actually open doors to otherwise darker realities, realities which we have no business entering. So caution when you're up there playing around.
Yeah, Jeremy's face lit up. He instantly booted up the Cray again, is now attempting every key combination he can.
I remember at a small program.
Uh-huh. Well, I imagine that if you hit the percentage key 8 times, it leads you into an alternate reality where accountants rule everything. Wait a minute, that's this one. They already rule everything. Thanks for calling, Doug.
Uh-huh.
Talk to you later, buddy.
You know, when Doug said that they should come up with Nike gear,
yes?
I just realized there'll be like Kenyans who do it without.
Oh, of course.
There'll be the big split. Well, he's right. Using gear, but the Kenyan is, doing it. No natural.
Yeah,
look at
natural.
The blood.
Yeah, precisely. Well, let's see. Dave from Andover. How you doing, Dave?
Hi, James. I just, moments ago, came up with a theory as to why people seem to get colds that just hacking coughs for weeks.
Oh, well, at the office, at the Star Trib, about 2 or 3 months ago, it sounded like a recuperation ward for mustard gas victims. It was just incredible. And it lingered on and on and on. It was just lungers, every one of them, just a tubercular nightmare. Mine came and left with the usual alacrity. So anyway, go on. Your theory is?
Well, I think that when you get an actual cold, it isn't quite as bad. It normally wouldn't last that long. But what makes it seem to last forever is the medicine. And, you know, they have menthol in there. And what does menthol also appear in?
Cigarettes.
Yes. When you smoke cigarettes, you just hack and cough and everything else. I think there's a conspiracy here to make colds last longer so you'll buy more cough medicine. Mm. I think Skip Pumphrey ought to sue the cold medicine manufacturer.
I should have brought it up last night when I was dancing with him. I know, that's a story you'll have to wait for next hour to hear. I think we talked about this last week, where when I was looking through the mysterious ingredients in my Ricola, or my Ricola, I noticed that menthol was one of them, and I speculated that ground-up, atomized, cool cigarettes were actually sprinkled into the cough drops. It's an excellent point. You're right. I take no medicine. None whatsoever. And I'm generally done with things in about a week.
Yeah, I usually don't take very much. When I used to take a lot of stuff, it lasted forever. Now when I don't take much, it just goes away after a couple of days.
But I repeat what I said before. I really wish that the cold was, that it moved all the way down through your body faster. You know, it didn't just hang around in the lungs for 5 days. It had spent a day in the lungs and then moved down to the liver and kidney area and then down to the groin, the thighs, the knee. You could just actually tell how long you had left by where the cold was in your body. Right? And I also wish that when people were contagious, that they turned plaid. That's all I ask. If their skin turned a nice little tartan color, you could tell who to avoid. Because when they're in the contagious stage, you don't know it.
Yeah, I would not mind congested toes.
No, who would mind congested toes? Because you know you got a day left of the congested toes, and then you're just back on your feet. I actually have to take a break, but I thank you for dropping by, Dave.
Yep.
Bye-bye. On the other side of the break, Catfish will be talking about cloning and another full complement of diner patrons, but you can get in here if you like. It is now 2.8 degrees. I love this. I truly do. It feels right for January. James Lilacs here at the diner on KSTP AM 1500.
Hi, this is Scott Korzenowski. On January 17th, join me in the 6th annual Walk to Cure Diabetes inside the Mall of America, where you can help me raise money for this great cause. Join our exclusive AM 1500 team and get some free stuff, including breakfast at Planet Hollywood before the walk. So join the AM 1500 team on the Walk to Cure Diabetes January 17th at the Mall of America. For your registration form, call our office today at AM 1500 KSTP.
I'm Tom Shane, and when walking in a mall recently, I noticed a lot of January clearance sales going on. When a store sells perishables or seasonal merchandise, I understand people don't need winter coats in the summer, but I also see a lot of jewelers with 50, 60, even 70 off sales. It makes me wonder how much they must mark up their jewelry the rest of the year. At the Shane Company, our prices are the same every day, and those prices are still lower than the so-called sale prices at the mall jewelers. Part of good customer service means honest pricing. Another part is providing good value. Our unconditional money-back guarantee protects you whenever you buy. And because we don't manipulate our prices, you buy when you're ready, at your convenience.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company, in Minnetonka at 394 at Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open weekdays till 8, weekends till 5.
Have you outgrown your current position, run out of rungs on the corporate ladder, or suddenly find yourself unemployed? Then it's time to look in the National Business Employment Weekly, America's most comprehensive job search and career guidance publication. Look in the NBEW and you'll find top jobs with top companies, ads for sales and marketing professionals, corporate chiefs, and information technology, even new business and franchise opportunities. When it's time to look, look in the National Business Employment Weekly. Pick it up at your newsstand today or call now and get 8 issues for just $38. With your paid subscription, you'll also receive free The Job Search Guide, filled with valuable tips to help you win the job you're looking for. That's 8 issues of high-paying jobs and the guide for only $38. For new subscribers only, call now 800-225-9300. That's 800-225-9300 for the National Business Employment Weekly.
On the last Mishki broadcast.
This just in out of Madison, Wisconsin. A lawmaker there wants to ban the possibility of human cloning in Wisconsin. Representative Mark Meyer says human cloning serves no good purpose and should be illegal. I agree with you, Mark, particularly in Wisconsin. Perhaps the last place on earth you would want to clone someone. If Wisconsin becomes a hotbed of cloning, there is fear that American SAT scores will drop dramatically, while the size of the American buttocks increases dramatically.
Mishki, weeknights 8 to 10 on AM 1500 KSTP.
Week in entertainment history. On Friday, it was the birthday of two titans of the music industry. Guitarist Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, of course, who sold his soul to the devil at the age of four. And Billy Cowsill of the Cowsills, born on the same day, a man who swam toward the shining light of saccharine mediocrity all of his days. Proof, astrology is nonsense. Lilac's back here at the diner with you. And before we go to Katie, I just want to say this. I watched Cher sobbing her way through her eulogy last night on television, and at the end of it, I felt guilty for every bad crack I'd ever made about Sonny and Cher for some reason. The end result I seem to have gotten from all this is that Sonny Bono was actually a hell of a guy. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought that the nation would all of a sudden scratch its head and realize, well, shucks, he wasn't such an idiot after all. Well, maybe he was kind of an idiot, but he was a nice guy. And what is it better to be remembered as, a nice guy or a smart person? This is what I've been wrestling with for some time. Katie from Minneapolis.
Hi.
How do you? Would you rather be remembered as nice or smart?
Nice. But then that could be a female thing, so...
Good.
I thought the coverage about Sonny Bono has been just very touching all week.
Yeah.
Decent
or smart? You know, somebody who was good
to
everybody.
It sounded like he was decent and smart, mm-hmm. and just a really nice guy, and it's just too bad, and I feel sorry for his kids.
Yeah.
Numbers. Now, I can't fool around with this too much because they'll change on me, but what color are numbers? I visualize them. You were talking about them being male and female.
Right.
And good and bad, and I think of them in a kind of a strip of colors with different color backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that conception of them since I was a child, and I still do my math with this little ruler of numbers that go up to infinity.
Interesting.
But they're all different colors. But I can't specify what color they are because then they start changing on me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean,
like, Like 8 is orange.
8 is orange.
And 9 is kind of lime green.
Lime green.
Yes. But, it's strange.
Now, as a child, you were saying you actually had a ruler, which...
I just, when I learned my numbers, all of a sudden it was like a ruler that was going from left to right and to infinity, and it was, they were all different colors with lighter and darker backgrounds, and I cannot tell you, I cannot go beyond that because then they start...
Well, what would pi be, for example, 3.1? I mean, that would, you know, there's a number that stretches to infinity.
Yeah, well, that's not even in my... that's one of the problems that I have with math. It doesn't fit on my ruler.
Well, what would just 3 be?
What?
What would 3 be?
3 is a light green.
Wait a minute. 3 is a light green, and 9 is a lime green.
Yeah.
So you take the 3 and you intensify
eight
it.
8 is orange, yeah.
And 8 is orange.
Yeah,
what is 4?
4 is orange, too, but 8 is a lighter orange.
Okay.
And 10 is, I think, yellow and black. And black. 1 is black.
1 is black.
2 is red and 7 is blue.
7 is blue. How about 3?
3 is green.
3 is green. You got a lot of green. Okay, and 5?
5 is kind of remarkable. I can't tell you what 5 is because...
It's a bubblegum pink. Trust me on this one, Katie.
No, I really like 5.
Mm-hmm. We all like 5. Who can't like 5? 5 is the great peacemaker. 5 is the conciliator. 5 is right there in the middle. It's easy when you're a kid because you got them right there at the end of your wrist.
Yeah,
5.
Okay.
That one you grasp.
All right. Well, now you... I want to know. Because I'm 44, and I really like being 44 because it's divisible by so many things.
Right.
I hated being 43 because it's... not divisible by anything, and I really loved 42 because it's divisible by so many things.
I'm 39 right now, and I feel like I'm on the edge of a precipice. So I have just
to
say, I don't like being 39 because I feel like I'm tapping my toe, spending the entire year in the waiting room for 40. So I've just decided that I'm already 40. I'm going to be 40 for 18 months. It'll be the longest year of my life, and that'll be great. It'll be an 18 month year.
You will have the precipice. It will come. It will pass, and suddenly. The light will dawn on you that this is just the beginning. So, it will be like a birth.
That's very kind of you to say, but I think the beginning was when I was a howling little rutabaga, rudely snatched from the womb and slapped on the bottom and toweled off. I think that's the beginning.
No. I'm sorry. 40 is the beginning.
Okay.
This has been a dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, in the morning of your 40th birthday, you'll probably be where I was. I was in a fetal position on the floor screaming, I'm 40! And then all of a sudden it will dawn on me that this is like, I'm really, truly born.
Well, the good thing that I did was that I kept extremely detailed journals through all of my 20s.
Uh-huh.
And I have them there on the shelf to remind me that there is absolutely no way I would want to go back to that period of my life because I was a moron. I was an idiot.
I had no clue.
I was an affectation-ridden, pretentious little snot who I'm just worse than I am today. I'm amazed that people just didn't come up and slap me on general principle. So I have all of this evidence staring at me to remind me that youth is, as they say, wasted on the young, and that it's good to be 40 and watching the degeneration of your limbs, organs, and critical faculties.
And therein lies the fact that 40 is going to be the beginning.
All right.
It's just a rehearsal. And
what color is 4 again?
I think it's orange, but it's changing now
because
I'm talking about it.
Right. we'll talk when I hit that point later.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Katie. Bye-bye.
Bye.
646-8255, 646-TALK. Now the great Grunza debate begins. Susan from Maple Grove, how are you today?
Hi there. I have never called anywhere before, but this Runza thing struck so close to my heart, I just had to call you.
Well, welcome to the diner. All inaugural patrons get their choice of beverages and pie. Mrs. Winthrop has made a wonderful prune pie. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's a whipped prune.
My mother used to make a prune pie.
Well, you should see the whips that she uses. She's about 104, but when she picks up that nice, big, huge leather braid and starts snapping the prunes to order, I tell you, it's a sight to see.
It's good to have right after a ticker stopper.
Oh, after...
clean you out.
If you want a ticker stopper hamburger, too, all inaugural patrons get 50% off one of those.
Oh, yay.
So, have a seat at the counter and tell me what Grunzas are and whether or not they should be added to the menu here.
Well, the ones I know are just Runza.
Runza.
R-U-N-Z-A,
mm-hmm.
And they're kind of a rectangle, about probably 6 by 3 inches,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of puffy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a soft, bread sort of outside. And inside there is cabbage and sausage or hamburger or whatever. It's a fast food franchise chain in Nebraska and Colorado and no doubt other places, but those are the only places I know of.
You're kidding me.
And they're wonderful.
Where does the name come from? Was there a Mr. Runza? I'm imagining a George Runza who decided to build an empire of strange, puffy, Nebraska-shaped pastries.
I think it was something like that. I think it was a family name, and there's a little history that's printed on the back of the takeout menus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a family thing that started, way back, tons of years ago.
Hmm.
And they've just caught on and gone from there.
Hmm.
And they have different permutations of them, some with cheese and some with mozzarella and spaghetti sauce in them. And the originals are the best. So.
Uh-huh. It sounds like something you could vary however you wanted to without destroying its innate runziness. I mean, if it's just a fluffy little pastry that's square and filled with stuff, you could pack anything into it. Tofu, rabbit meat, squirrel, anything.
Peanut butter. It could be, the possibilities are probably endless.
Well, since it's a family operation, we probably can't get the franchise to serve it here at the diner. We had enough trouble getting the loose meat franchise from the Made Right people. But, well, now I know. We have some other people who have sampled Runzas, and let's go hear what they say.
Great.
Thanks for dropping by, Susan.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You can't copyright a sandwich. If I decide to put cabbage and meat between two slices of bread, that's my thing. I'll just call it something else.
You want the whole legal weight of the Runza empire to come down in your head, buddy. That's fine.
I'm not worried.
Curtis on a payphone. How you doing, Curtis?
Yeah, not too bad. I am from Nebraska. I'm living here in Minneapolis now. Mm-hmm. And Sue basically had it right. It's ground beef and cabbage kind of baked in the bread. Mm-hmm. So the bread is completely surrounding
the
stuff. And the saying is it's Runzas or Funza in the Bunza.
What? Runza are
in the Bunza.
Are Funza in the Bunza. Oh, boy.
Hey, Nebraskans, what do you expect?
And I imagine that your average high-minded high schooler had a little bit of fun with that slogan from time to time.
Well, now, basically, it was really big with the college kids because it's really started in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Is it deep-fried?
Baked.
No, baked.
Baked,
because if it's deep-fried... You can stuff cheese and hamburger into an oven mitt and deep fry it, and it will be good and tasty at the end of it.
Oh, yes, and college students would eat it anyway.
Hmm. But it seems to be so much of a regional thing, it never made it out of Nebraska.
Yeah, really, the only place I really ever saw it was in Lincoln when I was going to school, and then it went over into Omaha, but it's basically a Lincoln thing. And
you wonder if perhaps there's some sort of genetic predisposition in Nebraskans to like Runzas, and that when they went to other markets... People took one bite, scowled, got out the pitchforks, and poked the Runzans back to their native territory.
Well, yeah, that's one thing. It might be kind of regional on the fact that, my stepmom gave me a recipe for a casserole version of Runzas.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just kind of make it in a 9x13 and just serve it from there. But it's basically it's the cabbage and the ground beef, and that's the original.
Do you know anything about old man Runza himself?
No, but the menu kind of talks about how Grandma Runza created this for the family and kind of to stretch the food budget or whatever it is. And
astonishing.
Yes.
Well, now I know more about Runzas than I ever did before, and now I'm actually looking at a map here plotting my next trip to Nebraska. Fortunately, I have to break. Thanks for the call, Curtis.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
On the other
Save
side
your gas money. I'll make them here.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. On the other side of the break, Tony, number 3 from St. Paul, will be talking about the color of numbers. I'm trying to figure out exactly what color 40 is. Not that I'm there yet, mind you. And I will tell you the tale about dancing with Skip Humphrey, which I did last night. He's a wonderful dancer. James Lilacs here at the diner on KSTP AM 1500.
Ed and Ernie were working the used car lot when Jack showed up. Jack was looking at a 95 truck. Ed and Ernie didn't like Jack very much.
Oh, jeez, he's making noise.
Probably subscribes to Consumer Reports.
Yeah, knows what he's doing.
Are you going to talk to him?
Yeah.
Me neither. Knows what he's doing.
Later that day, Joe showed up. Ed and Ernie liked Joe a lot better.
Nice looking truck you got here. Hi, name's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Turns out Joe worked a long time at the lumberyard, had a good standing with his credit union, was a nice guy who trusted people. The price of the 95 truck just went up.
Unfortunate but true. At many dealers, while you're sizing up a used vehicle, the salesmen are sizing up you. Simple advice. If you're shopping a used vehicle, go to a dealer who posts the price right on the car.
That's Jim Paul of Valley Olds Pontiac GMC, where all the prices on used vehicles are clearly marked, where every used vehicle comes with a warranty, where Jack and Joe pay the same price. On Cedar Avenue in Apple Valley, Jim Paul's Valley Olds Pontiac GMC, a car dealer for the times.
Business owners, ring in the new year with greater profitability. Greater Midwest Insurance and Financial Services can help you reduce insurance costs without sacrificing coverage. Have you had your company's business and health insurance policies reviewed in the past year? Business and health insurance costs can vary hundreds of dollars from company to company. Are you paying too much? Call 895-1774 for a quote. Greater Midwest Insurance and Financial Services will help you get your insurance costs and coverages in order. Because they are an independent insurance agency, they work with many different companies and can choose the best company with the best coverage and the best price for your particular business. Isn't it time you had your policies reviewed? Call Greater Midwest Insurance and Financial Services. For business, health, life, home, and auto insurance, call Greater Midwest Insurance and Financial Services at 895-1774. That's 895-1774.
When you buy your diamond ring from Spence Diamonds, you're buying direct. If you're looking for a quality diamond ring at the best possible price, look to the new Spence Factory showroom in Roseville. I'm Doug Spence, and at Spence Diamonds, we import our diamonds directly from the diamond capital of Antwerp, Belgium, bypassing middlemen and saving you money. In addition, almost all of our engagement and wedding ring settings are produced in our own studios. Again, bypassing middlemen and saving you money. In fact, at Spence Diamonds, we were manufacturing jewelry before we opened our doors to the public. So if you want the best possible diamond value, visit Spence Diamonds in Roseville first. You'll find the largest collection of engagement and wedding ring designs in the state at prices only an importer and manufacturer can offer.
Spence Diamonds, the only store that only deals in diamonds. In Roseville, on County Road B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
James Lilac, you're back at the diner. Let's head straight out to St. Paul and Tony. Tony, how you doing today? Hello, Tony. Oops, never mind. Try again. Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
There we go.
When I was a kid, I didn't so much think of the colors of numbers, except 2 and 3 were blue to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had sort of a Melrose Place kind of thing going on between the numbers 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
They had relationships to each other. One was, I thought male, but now looking back, it's probably unisex. But one was like Superman, all by itself, you know, the messiah of the numbers.
Well, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
Yeah, although I thought 8 was kind of a loner, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 2 and 3 were kind of the Romeo and Juliet. 2 was female, 3 was male.
Mm-hmm. 8, to me, was sort of the happy Michelin man type, jolly fat man sort of thing.
Yeah, well, see, the reason I called up, I wasn't going to call, but you said 5 was kind of the peacemaker.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Now, to me, 5 was kind of the middle management kind of mean person. 4 was kind of the mole in the system. 4 was a...
Mm-hmm.
Or was the male.
So five being middle management, when they downsized the numbers, 5 would be the first one that lost the job when they reorganized the corporation.
Probably so, yeah. But, you know, 4 was the mole that would sneak information to 2 and 3, our fine young Romeo and Juliet couple.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah. 5 was trying to influence 6, but really couldn't. 6 and 7 were kind of a couple.
Yeah, they're by themselves, sandwiched there between 5 and 8. 6 and 7 looked like they belonged together.
You bet. 8 was a male, kind of a loner,
mm-hmm.
No real interaction with anybody else, but... 9 could be drawn that way. 9 was female.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of friends when you were a kid, Tony?
Trying to pass time while the teacher was going on and on about verbs or something.
That's exactly what I would do. I wasn't overburdened with a lot of friendships as a kid, and I would sit there and make up stories and relationships about numbers and letters. Yeah.
Yeah, 9 and 10 were kind of a couple. 10 was a tough guy who worked for the other numbers.
Yeah, ten would be sort of a burly sort of overlord. Yep. Yeah.
But the numbers beyond that got kind of gray.
Yeah, they did. They became obscure, like the secondary gods in the Roman pantheon.
Yeah, and everybody
knows about Zeus, but nobody ever knows about, you know, the god in charge of doorways.
Yeah, and I never got too far. You know, if you put 3 and 5 together, what happens? I never got into that.
No, but you're right. It's a seething cauldron of personal intrigue, romance, vice. Resentment and the rest of it there.
It's its own little nighttime soap, yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tony, I agree with you completely.
Thank you, Dave.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I understood everything he said. That's vaguely frightening. Catfish, how you doing?
James.
What's up, buddy?
Good to hear your voice again.
It's good to be here on a Saturday afternoon. A
couple of requests.
Mm-hmm.
Early Lena Horne on the jukebox.
Oh, yes.
I would like to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I'd like a cup of coffee and some of Jeremy's chowder.
Oh, coming down the counter. Good day right for chowder.
Say, what's your opinion on this cloning thing going on here?
I only wish that the man who had brought this to the public attention was not named Seed. was not named Richard Seed. If there's ever somebody to talk about human procreation, it should not be somebody named Richard Seed.
It's almost kind of a prophecy name, I would think.
It's one of those things that's going to happen just simply because we can.
Yeah.
Because we do it, somebody's going to do it. The point has been made over and over by persons who can articulate the philosophical and ethical dilemmas better than myself.
Well, Star Trek. I mean, look at their whole issue, you know, with the cloning and such. I think we should have learned from them. So
yes, we've much to learn from Star Trek.
Yes, we do. I've been watching what the DNR has been doing now with the walleye population is going down.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to breed it with the cohos,
mm-hmm.
just to get the numbers up. They made a crossbreed.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had these coho walleyes flowing around, and now the problem was that they weren't protecting their nests, so they crossed them again, and they crossed it with a muskie, and you got a Kowalski, and they couldn't even teach the thing how to swim, so, Christ, I don't know. I think it's cloning's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, the thing is if you start cloning, then you start losing the genetic variations that you get when you have interbreeding between all sorts of different members of the same species, but we're not going to have that with people because you're not going to be doing on a large enough scale to lead that kind of genetic dilution, I think. And while I like the idea of somebody prepping a brand new body for me to harvest organs from as mine fail and drop, I sort of have to wonder what the James in the freezer thinks about the whole thing. It's one of those things where we're going to find out. We're going to figure out exactly what the ethical problems are because somebody's going to do it. And then we'll have the horrible, misshapen victims of cloning showing up on Jenny Jones and Jerry Springer to galvanize public attention one way or the other. So we'll see. Until then, I just wish it wasn't somebody named Dick Seed.
I think South Park did a good job showing how cloning went. I don't know if you've seen that episode yet.
No, it's too sophisticatedly drawn for my tastes. The animation is just too good, and I can't bear to watch anything that fine. I got to go to the news, Catfish,
okay.
But thanks. Talk to you later.
We'll see you now.
Bye-bye. On the other side, we've got Merlin to talk about Aranzas, and our friend the Spree Caller will be back, too. This and more. James Lilacs here at the Diner on KSTP AM 1500 at St. Paul, Minneapolis, 1 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Hart, a helping hand from Uncle Sam.